Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to Dome and Domer, the oldest Notre Dame football podcast on the planet, coming to you since 2006. Try that one on.
That's mind-blowing.
So, Ed, I'll start with you. Just, but before we dig in deep on the Notre Dame side of things, I did want to just comment on the playoffs and the seedings and all this stuff. I mean, I totally get there's no, like, perfect way to do this. Everybody's going to complain. Doesn't matter if it's a 12-team, 16-team, whatever. Those last two spots are going to be an argument. But I just think that the overall playoff system as a whole is going to have to be tweaked if they really want to get this right. Because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense that Arizona State, who was 15th going in, gets a bye, and Texas, who loses in the SEC championship, is not getting the bye. Now, you can make the argument all day long about who deserves it or whatever, but I think the playoff committee has got to relook at this and forget the idea of giving automatic byes to conference champions, because you're literally one more loss away from not only Clemson, a three-loss team, winning it, but all it took is one other conference to have a three-loss champion, and then now you're screwed. Now you're putting somebody in with a bye who's got three losses. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Having said that, I think IU is probably scratching their heads, saying, wait a minute, Ohio State had to win their last game of the season against a team we pounded, and they don't pull it off. They lose, and then you reward them by giving them a home game.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a lot to this that's just scratch your head.
No, there isn't any real consistency. It's like strength of schedule matters, but not really. When you lose and who you lose to matters in some cases. Obviously there's no deference at all paid to, you know, computers, BCS, AP, coaches poll or whatever. I mean, in all of those, you know, Notre Dame is two or three. And some of them, they're number one. I think the Sagarin rankings have Notre Dame number one, crazily enough. So, yeah, it's a little bit screwy. I mean, I look at this from two perspectives. The first is, this is the first 12-team playoff, okay? Look who's not in it. Alabama, LSU, Michigan, USC, yeah. Oklahoma. I mean, these are blue bloods of college football. Okay. And Notre Dame's in it. Right. And they're positioned well. So as a baseline, I think as fans, we should be pleased that our school is alive and well and playing and favored in a first round game. And you've got a lot of fans of a lot of really great programs. You know, Florida State, you know, USC, yep. Michigan. I'm just going to say Michigan maybe three more times. But they're not in it. Nobody's going to watch their bowl games because you only have so much, you know, time. And so that's one thing. The second thing is that, you know, this probably won't be agreed with, although Mike Cock and I seem to be both wearing red this evening, but you know,
not on purpose.
I'm annoyed. Like, you know, I like IU. I root for them. Like, they are a great story in college football this year, what they've done. I'm happy for their fans. They're friends of mine. They have something to cheer about for the first time in a long time. And they haven't had much basketball to cheer about for a long time. So they've, you know, football has, you know, and there's so many divided loyalties. There's so many, you know, good, you know, IU graduates or who are huge Notre Dame fans. And there's so many people who went to IU who work at the university. And there's so many people at IU who, you know, who are in South Bend. And I just wish it would have been somebody else, because I would have liked to have had another team to root for and to follow in these playoffs, you know? And also selfishly as a Notre Dame fan, I mean, you know, just about any other opponent there only would be about 3,500 or 4,000 of their fans in the stadium on
exactly
a week from Friday. But this way, there's going to be a lot more than that. And you're going to notice them because they're going to be wearing red, and good for them. I mean, but I guarantee you that half of them are going to be just fine if Notre Dame wins.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's just kind of, you know, it just goes back to my comment at the beginning of all this, which is the human beings making these decisions on the committee. You know, some of them are just dicks. Some of them just don't know anything about football. And it shouldn't be left in their hands. They have conference affiliations. They have all kinds of differing agendas and different sort of historical sort of baggage and stuff. And, you know, it should all be left to the computers. I'm sorry, but that's my unpopular opinion.
Yeah, it just seems like they keep jacking it up. I personally think that I've been saying this for a while, but I think we're seeing the beginning of the end of college football in its most promising point in its history is right now. And especially with the 12-team playoff, I think this is a great thing for college football. I think you can tell just by the ticket prices that are going, there's definite excitement, but these guys have proven that they're totally capable of jacking this up. And, you know, we'll see what happens with how they tweak the system for next year. But I just think that we're, unfortunately, it's just pretty messy at the moment. Coffee, I do, you know, to one extent, I'm with Ed in the fact that I'm kind of bummed that we are playing IU, because I do like IU. But also because we're not getting the warm Southeast Conference team that we thought we were going to get. Mm-hmm. That was going to just sit there and agonize as we looked at them the entire game. IU's probably as comfortable playing in this kind of weather as we are.
No, absolutely.
So, you know, now that's that home field advantage, definitely from a weather standpoint, is taken away. And there's going to be a spattering of red throughout the crowd just because
there's going to be Notre Dame people who are
gonna, you know, when are they ever going to see this ever again? All right, I'll give you my tickets.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's going to be Notre Dame people who are, I mean, given the prices that some of these tickets are going for, there are people who are going to say, we're probably going to beat Indiana anyway, so I'll sell those tickets and use them to go to the Sugar Bowl or something like that. Now, In the interest of full disclosure, I do have flights on Southwest that I got with points that I can pull back to New Orleans and all that. But I completely agree with everything Ed said. I think that if SMU had beaten Clemson on Saturday, Alabama, we'd be the sixth seed, and Alabama would be coming up to Notre Dame. They would have manipulated it to get the matchups that they wanted. I think Indiana, I agree with that also on both of his points. Number one, Indiana deserved a home game much more than Ohio State did. And two, it just sucks that one of these teams has to go. I mean, like Ed, I know a bunch of IU grads. I mean, I like how happy they are with everything that's been going on, and the fact that one of us is either, I'm going to be pissed at them because they win, or I'll feel bad for them because they lose. That's not optimal for me. I'd rather be playing a team like Tennessee or as Mike, as you put it, an SEC team that's going to come up and freeze their nads off and just be like, look absolutely terrible for the entire game. That's what I wanted to see. Unfortunately, we're not going to see it that way. But I think there is way too much. There are way too many influences. There's way too much inconsistency. Now, granted, they always say you make your biggest improvement between your first and your second game. Maybe they'll make a huge improvement between this first and second year. They'll get their shit together and maybe figure out how to be consistent, how to put rules out there and say, this is what you should be doing.
Yeah, everybody's commenting on it.
What I like most is right now we have other people doing Notre Dame's work for them. We have people from the SEC saying, Why should all the champions get a first round bye, especially when they're terrible? Why can't we just do this 1-12? And that's what Notre Dame people have been saying for ages, because under this system, we can't get a bye. You want to switch it around so the top four teams get have the first round bye? Great. I am 100% for that. You know what else they got to do? They got to get rid of those stupid conference championship games.
Yeah, I think that's played itself out. I think I don't know, Ed. When did that start? When did conference championships start?
Late '90s.
That like in the late '90s?
Yeah, like 96 or 97.
It's not like that's been around forever.
It's a money grab.
It was a money thing.
No, absolutely it is.
Yeah,
and you can't play a conference championship game now. You can't play your conference championship game if you A, don't have divisions, or B, your team isn't playing round robin. I mean, look at the ACC. SMU won the ACC, but they didn't play half the good teams, and they ended up losing to a team that had two more losses than them. And that makes absolutely no sense.
Well, look at Penn State. Penn State's crowning achievement of their season was losing in the conference championship, or giving up 45 points in the conference championship game.
Exactly.
I mean, and it worked in their favor. If they would have won, they would have had a much harder trip to Atlanta for the national championship. You know, now they play SMU at home. Then they play Boise, probably, right?
Yep.
I mean, so yeah, it's really screwy. I mean, the only good thing about it is that they'll probably lose to SMU.
Right.
I'd love to see SMU, that.
They'll almost surely lose to Boise. So
yeah.
But still, it's really screwed up.
It is. And I think that one of the things that is going to rear its ugly head for these teams is, and we did mention this last show, but staying healthy is going to be key. I mean, it's going to have huge effects. I mean, Georgia obviously is staring down that right now. Who knows where Beck is going to be?
Which I don't think is that big of a deal, actually. I mean, I think,
I assume he's going to be back. I mean, it's his elbow. It's not his shoulder.
I mean, elbow is going to heal all year, and this other guy's a 5-star quarterback, so they'll be fine if he is out. So
yeah, I mean,
I'm more interested in what they're going to do for punting. Because their punter's out.
Yeah, he's out for sure.
I don't know if you try. How do you get a guy to be a Division I punter in 2.5 weeks? I don't know.
Well, if you're at Georgia, you buy one. So
you'll
have one in time. So.
Yeah, well, look, all in all, I think once we get to the semifinals, everything goes away. You're going to have four pretty damn good teams playing, and there's going to be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Whoever survives that to get to the championship game, and that will be the de facto champion, and there's going to be no arguments. It's just going to be the way that this all played out going into it. Pretty obvious that they're going to have to go just seedings 1 through 12. It's the only way to do this fair and honest, and to where there's no ambiguity at least, and where nobody can really screw this up.
The other way to do it, which they would never do, is you could keep it as it is, and then you reseed after the first round.
Yeah, but they won't do that.
They won't do that because they love having a bracket. Because they see how enjoyable it is for their basketball.
But 12 revenue really isn't enough to, I mean, you'd need to expand it out to 24 if you wanted to really have, like, if you wanted to say we want the level of participation that we see in basketball, I mean, you really got to press it out.
The most they'll ever do, I think, is 16 teams. I don't see it going beyond that. Yeah. Even that is a bit of a stretch. You can't have any buys with that. You're going to have to just everybody plays. But, I don't think it's going to get there.
What does Division
II
do? Or like the other divisions that have had playoffs for a while? I mean, they have quite a few in there, I think.
I think it's 16. It might be 16.
I mean, I think they stop. Part of the problem that I have is, and this is my problem with the NFL too, because I definitely think that it affects quality of play. Listen, we want to see all the best players play. There's more and more injuries every year, more and more significant injuries, at least it seems to me. And the fact of the matter is that the bigger guys are faster and faster and stronger and stronger.
And hit harder and
harder.
And
if they play for a national championship, that'll be their 16th game.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're basically surviving a car wreck if you're a linebacker or a lineman, you know, once a week for 20 weeks, basically. So, you know, and the NFL, I mean, again, it's just so freaking greedy. I mean, I think the NFL would be a better product if there were still 14 games. I think college football would be a better product if there was a max of like 13 games, you know, all the way to the national championship.
I think if they should go back to 10 game seasons is what they should do. I think if they were to go back to 10 game season and then let the rest of it play out, that would be perfect. You don't need more than 10 games.
So quaint, you know, somebody asked the question at Marcus Freeman's press conference about, you know, like balancing, you know, exams the week leading up to the IU game. And have a feeling he was probably the only coach that got that question when there were press conferences around the country.
I guess. It's going to be, moving on to the game, I will say that I do think that, Freeman's going to have to pull out all the stops like he has in the last three games. And I'm not necessarily saying go for it on fourth down on your own 23-yard line, and that's fourth and 10. But there's going to have to be everything thrown in at this game. I mean, this is all or nothing. And there's no holding back. And so, I can just see that this is, this is going to be a barn burner. I think it's going to be a tight game. I don't think there's no way this is going to be a blowout. They're too good of a team. They actually play very good defense. They're aggressive. Their DBs are really good. Their wide receivers are good. They could be some of the better wide receivers we've seen all season. And their running game's half decent. It's not bad. This is going to be a real challenge to get these guys to refocus. And he's been doing it up to this point, but this is a whole different ballgame now. This is like a second season.
I think the other thing that kind of works in their favor is that, they had a big, big spotlight on them in that Ohio State game, right?
Yeah.
And, the stadium was a little bit too big for them. But now they've gone on the road. They played, quote unquote, a blue blood. They played a, upper echelon opponent. In other words, they kind of know what that feels like now. I mean, Indiana football certainly hasn't had a game like that recently that meant anything. So I think that they'll be mentally in better shape. And that will sort of work to their advantage. You can tell their coach sets the tone for that team. And that is not a team that's going to be intimidated or is going to play scared or is going to, they're mentally tough. In that sense, I don't think we can sort of say like, if it's 14-3 at the end of the first quarter, it's over. They're going to, they're capable. They're explosive enough to get back in the game. It's going to be a four quarter game.
Yeah, and that kid's thrown for 70% of his completions. So he's a solid QB. He's not anything he's definitely as good as we've seen all year long.
Yep.
It's going to be a tough game. I do think the weather is going to be interesting because I think for us personally, me, I don't know why, but I just feel like I'd rather have a dry field with no snow on the ground with having backs like Love and Jadarian Price. I think that favors us. I'd hate to see it being even a little bit slippery just with, not being able to rely on that. And just, the cuts that we make, especially Riley Leonard, with the way that he cuts, it's going to, that could be a problem for us if it's all of a sudden slipping and sliding all over the place. And so there's definitely some aspects to this that'll be real interesting. Who knows? I mean, it's going to be in the 20s. That's for sure. It's not going to be any better than that, but you just don't want any precipitation hanging around.
I don't know if you guys saw I think it was was it the Bills Niners game?
All the snow.
There was a lot of snow. And then also I think there was another game in the snow recently, but I was actually really impressed at the quality of I think Pittsburgh, because there was Russell Wilson was throwing in the snow. I think he threw for like 200 yards in the second half in the snow. But I mean, to me, it's pretty amazing how good some of these games are in the snow. It probably has to be a certain kind of snow. But I'm not too concerned about that. I mean, back in the day before climate change really kicked in, there was a lot of November snow games in Notre Dame Stadium. Notre Dame Penn State game, there was snow flying around like crazy, and that was a classic. We haven't had snow for a football game for quite a while, I don't think, or at least of any significant precipitation. So
I think who knows Northwestern was the last one.
That Boston College one where it was 44-0.
Oh, that was weird. Yeah.
That was weird. That was a lot of snow.
And then it was gone like in a half hour. So it was something really strange.
I mean, it just came down forever. I think it was Freeman's first year, wasn't it?
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah.
But in any event, that was pretty bad. But yeah, look, at the end of the day, I think the key for me, at least determining whether or not Notre Dame comes out of this with the victory, is going to be turnovers. They're going to have to win that game. They're going to have to win that battle. If they turn it over, look out. Because that's where it puts a ton of pressure on us, and all it takes is one or two, you know, where you don't convert on third and short or whatever. And
that's what made the USC game close, as long as it was close, right? You know, the two turnovers. I just think it's going to be really interesting, sort of, you know, certainly against IU, and if already beats IU against Georgia, if Al Golden is going to alter his philosophy at all, because I think he has the athletes to, you know, to play zone, to, you know, but I mean, obviously Notre Dame was exposed a little bit, and he just kept blitzing and blitzing and blitzing, and they could not get to that USC quarterback, and he made him pay. You know, there were guys left on islands, there were PIs, there were, you know, pretty decent sized chunk plays. And so I'm really curious to see if we're going to back off a little bit, because, you know, without Bubakar and without Botello, you know, we're kind of a replay of the last few years where we're just a step. We just can't get the quarterback to the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We're missing that one piece that could, you know, knock everything else
Coffee, down. I didn't hear what is the status report of Love? Is it
he's good to go, supposedly, as is Cross. KBA is still out, but not sure what's going on. I'm interested to see how much of a difference that Cross will make, because I think him not playing against Southern Cal definitely hurts. Helped.
Yeah.
Definitely hurt, especially in the second half. I think I also think having
he always attracts a double team, which makes it easier to
But having 2 weeks off, I think really, really is going to help. And as much as we complain about not having access to the bye, I would really almost rather have had last week off and play on the 20th than have played last week and then sit all the way until the end of the month.
I agree.
I think it's you get a good balance of rest and focus that can keep an even keel, as opposed to we're crash, come back up. I mean, a lot of times you see in those, I mean, look at how many playoff games in the past have been blowouts, partially because I think some of the teams that came in were decent teams, but they had just been on the shelf for so long that they couldn't get back to that energy that they had maintained through the season. Well, now you have, okay, we played Thanksgiving weekend, we play two and a half, whatever weeks later. Then if we win, we play like 9 or 10 days later. If we win, we play 9 days later. I think it's a good, it's a momentum sustaining schedule.
Yeah. I mean, not to look too far ahead, but the toughest transition I think would be, you know, between New Orleans and the semifinal game, because the game in New Orleans, you know, doesn't even start till 8:45 PM Eastern time, which means it's going to wrap up around 1 in the morning. And then they possibly could play, you know, exactly a week to the day later on the 8th, as opposed to, so that.
That was on the 9th.
I think there's games on the 8th and the 9th. I think there might be one semifinal on the 8th and one on the 9th.
I'm pretty sure the Orange Bowl is on the 9th. At least that's what their website's saying. But your point's well taken. You're still, you know, there is a bit of a short.
Impressed, but those are first world problems. Bring on that problem. I want to deal with it.
Yes, indeed. And we're all staying at Brammer's house if I should make the Orange Bowl.
That's right.
Exactly.
So just out of curiosity, Coffee, what do you think? There's going to be any surprises? Anybody that kind of you think is a dark horse in that 12 team?
I'll be interested to see if some of the young offensive linemen play. I mean, I know that there have been some posts about who still has their red shirt, and you can't lose your red shirt by playing in a playoff game. So everyone's available. And I think that if there's anyone who's been, I know there were some, and I cannot pull names off the top of my head, but we've seen some young players who have played well in spots. And given this new, like we've got 4 games left, and in those situations, with some guys having who are on their 17th or 18th game, maybe you need someone who plays, who just needs to come in and play well for 4 or 5 plays and can make a difference. And I'll be interested to see how many of the young guys actually are get put in critical spots and see if they can deliver.
I think to me, one of the most important sort of injury sort of recoveries that hopefully, you know, is benefited by these, you know, 2 weeks off is Mitch Jeter. Like, we got to get somebody who can make a 40-yard field goal.
Yeah, we're going to need that in a big way.
Yeah.
That's game changing. I mean, just look at the Georgia game. I mean, an accurate field goal kicker can mean a huge difference in any of these games.
A crazy game. I mean, Texas just dominated the first half.
Everything
but the score.
They just couldn't. Yeah, they just couldn't convert.
Game with like 12 or 13 penalties too, or something? I mean, it was.
Yeah, I think they had almost 100 yards of penalties or something. It was very close to that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely going to be wild. I mean, I think we'll hold off on the predictions until next week. We'll do another show right before. Right. But it is going to get interesting here. And I think it's going to be the buildup and the hype, I think, is going to be pretty high. You're going to see like a lot of interest in this. I think it's going to be great for college football. It's going to be fascinating. And it'll be interesting to see the ratings, especially out of that first weekend. But I love the fact that we got the night game Friday night, the first game. I mean, that's going to be pretty cool for all of the buzz leading up to that.
You know, sometimes we forget, you know, a lot of this is a numbers game. I mean, think about it. You know, IU has been graduating 10,000 people a year for the last 50 years. You know, Notre Dame's been graduating, you know, 1,500 or 2,000 a year.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, Notre Dame's been graduating these people from all over the world. You know, IU's been graduating 60, 70% of them from within 100 miles of here.
You know?
So, I mean, there's going to be a critical mass. It's going to be freaking crazy. I mean, and they'll, again, you know, we're a little bit, I think, like you said, Bram, I mean, this does not happen in IU football land. No. And, you know, Notre Dame's been to how many playoffs in the last 3 years? And the mentality that Coffey mentioned of like, okay, well, you know what? We're going to win this game, so I'm going to save my shekels for
– I did it. You know, Lendl tried to get me to come up for the game, and I said, Dave, I'm going to the Notre Dame-Georgia game. Why would I forget the IU game?
Don't jinx it. Knock, 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 knock.
Listen, all I got to say is a couple things. First of all, whoever operates the big, you know, the big video board at Notre Dame Stadium, they better play the highlight of Irv Smith dragging.
Yeah, carrying three guys. Yeah.
Irv Smith should be the honorary coin tosser, for that game. If they're smart, they'll get him back for that.
I don't know who put it. Maybe it was Matt Fortuna, but I thought it was really pretty brilliant that he said the honorary captain for the game should be David Anspaugh, who was, you know, the director and writer of both Rudy and Hoosiers. So that's a pretty good call.
Sure.
I don't know. It's going to be a little crazy because it looks like this is going to be another year where, you know, IU fans don't have much to cheer about on the basketball court. So, you know,
well, I think there's going to be a good showing. We are going to see some red scattered throughout the crowd. There's going to be IU fans getting in. They'll be wearing their red. You'll see them in different spots of the stadium, unlike you wouldn't see if it was Tennessee was there or if Alabama or who else. You're not going to see the kind of show that IU's going to bring, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So that will be interesting. But
you're gonna have some people there who are just basically screaming their lungs out on every play, regardless of who it favors.
yep. Yeah, and that's gonna be
it. Don't you think Notre Dame should wear green? I mean, it is the Christmas season, so we'll just have a big old.
May not be a bad idea.
Stadium.
I don't have a green coat, unfortunately. I'm gonna have to go find one.
Forgot about that. Yeah, there's no way.
Is Notre Dame gonna do anything special? I mean, you know,
they like should. They should.
They better be thinking about it.
Get the green pom poms or something. You know.
Yeah, they should do something. Like
they should buy. I think they should buy 70,000 green knit hats and just hand out.
There you go.
Stocking caps or something.
You can make those for a buck a piece, easy.
Sure. Yeah.
But sell them for 10, which is what they'll do.
Somehow, you know.
Yeah, good deal. Cash, all right, awesome. Well, we're looking forward to this. Should be a great game. It's a lot of built up anxiety for all of us heading in, but I mean, it's going to be. it's going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a great run here. And yeah, I guess we will be cheering for one of the two teams that walks out of Notre Dame Stadium. That's for sure. Moving forward. Well,
yeah. I mean, there's no doubt who we're going to be 100% behind the night of the game. God forbid things don't go our way. It's going to be pretty easy to adapt a second favorite.
Absolutely. Yep.
But we're not even going to go there. I mean, we're going to take care of business. And I really wonder if this kind of like, you know, I think Notre Dame players probably think of themselves as, you know, one of the best teams in the country. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, a seventh sort of seeding.
They got to turn that into motivation. Yeah, I agree.
Something. I think so. I don't know if they think that way, but you know, I think that might be a little bit part of motivation. Hopefully.
Yep. Let's hope so. All right, good deal. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik, Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.